each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
This is the Winds of Change Pledge Drive. Help us stay on the air by making your donation now to ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And click on the radio tab to donate securely. Your contribution to Winds of Change will be a blessing. Thank you.
Okay. So to support Winds of Change, go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And again, as I said before, earlier in the week, a dollar. If everybody would donate $1, that would keep us a dollar a month, $12 a year, keep us on the air. All right. Where's Christina?
She was working.
She's working. Okay. But she's coming?
Yeah, she's coming down.
So guess what I did?
What did you do?
I went last night and saw
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Wow. Okay.
So have you seen this?
You know, I saw the video half parts. I should say, I worked in a video store, so I saw a lot of things at the beginning, but never completely.
Sure.
But yeah, I've always wanted to.
Yeah, I don't know. I had never seen it before, and I had the opportunity.
So you went for a night at the theater.
I did, and I haven't, and you know,
With your smoking jacket.
Exactly, and I should do this more often.
Right.
It's been many, many years since I've done this.
Wow.
And I've thought about it, and so the Holy Trinity, the students are, they're actually going today for a showing, but I was invited. So we were talking about it, this was several weeks ago, and then I got an invite, a ticket was given to me, and so I took advantage of it.
So now you got to sit down and talk to Father Coyce, because he's always, you know, he's on the Hamilton.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's been talking about Jesus Christ Superstar.
Has he seen?
I think he has.
But so, I think he's on Hamilton. Curious to know what he would think about it.
You guys got to get together. Yeah. Hopefully maybe on a Wednesday or something.
Have you seen Christina?
Jesus Christ.
Even the movie or the
No,
play?
I've seen the movie. I don't care for the movie.
Can I ask what you like about it?
I just don't care for it. I'm not into the, it was the music, well, the 70s and then
right.
Certain things about it, I just have issues with.
Okay.
Yeah,
people say.
I just don't like the movie.
Yeah, no,
I don't care for it.
I just don't like it.
I don't care for it.
That's okay. No, I concur with that.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, you know, that because I remember in the 70s it came out, the play premiered in 1971, I think, and the musical. It's a musical, and. I never, you know, at that time I didn't have any desire to see it because I wasn't into that kind of...
The music? I'm not into that. I don't care for the disco, like that kind of music.
Well, that's not disco. That was rock.
Yeah, well, the 70s, I just don't care for that music.
Yeah.
What about Godspell?
Godspell. I don't know if I saw it. I remember the music. Now, I think the other day we were talking about that, and
right.
I was in my mind thinking... I saw it, but I don't think I did. I think I saw a play.
Yeah.
And I don't think the play was, it was either Jesus Christ Superstar or Godspell, one or the other. But But I don't think that I really did see it because
like Godspell. I like the music.
Godspell?
It's the same. It's the same kind of. It's the story of Jesus Christ in a sense, but in modern times.
But from the 70s,
right? See, I'm not much into
the 70s. You would like that more, I think, because it was just, you know.
I my concern. I mean, as much as I don't care for that music, either. But
care for it.
The story or the way they portray the whole thing, I just don't care for it.
Yeah,
I don't like it. I hate it.
Well, Jesus Christ Superstar. There's something about it. It's like maybe a Protestant view. It's not.
Well, it doesn't tell the full story for
right,
one thing, you know, because there's no resurrection. And let me just say that anytime there's drama, it's nice, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, drama in a theater, right? We don't like drama, right?
Real drama.
Real drama, but life is drama, dramatic. Right. But I like drama, and I was actually thinking about that. I was thinking about a lot of things during the musical last night. It was about 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And it was nice. It was nice to be able to get out. It was nice to go. And I say I'd like to do that more often. I wouldn't see this again, that's for sure.
Who was the lead guitarist or the singer? Because that's a friend of my brother's.
So Heath Saunders played Jesus. He played Jesus. I guess one of the lead singers would have been Ryan Shaw, who played Judas.
Okay.
But let me just say that... Yeah. What was I going to say?
You were giving a review.
Right. I liked drama.
Right.
Years ago, Christina, you remember when we had the youth group here and when we had the neighborhood, when everybody lived in the neighborhood. This was something I like the kids to be involved in drama and the arts in that sense because it creates, first of all, you get to do a lot of role playing and everybody gets to do something, you know. So even if you're not a character in a play, You can do the set, the music, whatever it might be, and so everybody gets you. It's a great way to build a team, and take responsibility and work together, and it's fun. It's really a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. So we used to do a lot of that here, especially with the Hispanic community, and it was always religious or trying to tell a story, trying to teach. Inculcate all that, and it was really nice. I thought about that last night because what I find fantastic is the characters and the musicians and everything. I just like in the set, everything is just it's everything is so nicely choreographed and there's just something very appealing about that. It's in some ways it's make believe, but it's not make believe. You can kind of slip into another world in a sense. It's a nice respite from the reality of life, even as you're trying to convey a reality, communicate a reality via the arts, right? But I have to say about this Jesus Christ Superstar is that it was, I told somebody afterwards, this was my first and last ever rock concert.
Oh, no.
Hard rock concert. Because I never went to one. I was never into the hard rock.
So you've got to go see Hamilton.
Yeah, well, everybody.
It's kind of the same. You're probably
really, I don't know. Everybody who's seen that is raved about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that Jesus Christ Superstar was bad. It was okay.
Right. It's just the whole rock element.
It was too loud. It was too loud. You couldn't understand. If I could understand the lyrics, that would be one thing. I'd get a catch a word here and there. And
I haven't seen it in a long time. The movie.
This is radically different from the movie. I didn't see the movie, but when I got back, on YouTube you can kind of download. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see what the movie is completely different. Yeah. This is a stage, a Broadway play.
Okay.
Off Broadway, I guess you'd say. But it was just the lights were glaring. We were on the first floor, so.
Right.
Oh, okay. So
but those
right
lights,
there.
It was just too much for the eyes, and the noise was so loud, and the music was so, and I'm not saying it wasn't good, but it just wasn't, I can't, it was agitating.
Right.
I was so agitated.
Was it clear, or was
No.
Even for a concert sometimes, if you're looking at something, you're close, and it's not very clear, the acoustics in the building is not right.
This is at the Lyric Opera House.
Yeah, well, I've seen concerts there and everything.
Good, right?
Yeah. But I've seen bad too. It's just it doesn't carry right. If the sound is not right and yeah. you don't know what's going on and there's too many lights.
This was very, very hard to follow the lyrics. If you know the songs, and that's one thing, but if you don't, and you know the story, so you pick up a few words here and there, but it was just really loud. And I agree with what Christina was saying. The beautiful scenes. I thought the Last Supper scene was very beautiful. I thought it was nice. It was unique. Let me just say, I wouldn't say it's beautiful, but it was well done. Mm-hmm. But again, it's the 70s. It's comes out of the kind of the a little bit of the rebellion, the hippie, making things relevant, dumbing things down in a sense,
and then it's about our Lord. It's like to me. That's disrespectful. It's a slap in the face. That's how I feel. That's why I don't care for it.
Well, it's a different way of communicating the gospel. I hear what you're saying. I was sitting there as I was watching this, and then the other thing is we're dealing with the funeral of the two children, and that's
maybe that
I cannot get that out of my head. I mean, it's just constantly in my mind and my heart, and it's very, very painful. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine, but it's just. Sitting with this pain and anticipation of this funeral is very, very, very hard. And so it's not like there's anything else I want to do, even to prepare for the radio today. I guess I say this every day, there's always something, but it's like, how do you focus when you've got all this other stuff kind of weighing down on you? But that's the reality of life, you know? So that was on my mind through the entire play as I'm dealing with the very heart-wrenching violent death of two children and the family. You know, it's too raw. It's very, very raw. And then to see this raw depiction of the last week in the life of Jesus, it was, and knowing too, you know, and this is what I think Christina was getting to, is we live the faith. I'm not saying that those characters, the people there, don't do it, but when you're living the faith on a day-to-day basis, so you're and this would be the hope of all of us, as mysterious as it is, but we're nurturing life in Christ. And so I was thinking, you know, even as I was watching, I was also then, you know, going back to the sacred liturgy, the Mass, and I was thinking, you know, my experience of Christ in the sacred mysteries of the faith, or my own personal prayer life, my own personal relationship with Jesus, and even when I say personal relationship, I'm more and more uncomfortable even saying that, because we have a relationship. We have, I would hope all of us do. There is an intimacy we have with God, and yet God is. The more I know him, the more I don't know him, if that makes any sense.
It does make sense.
The closer I come, the farther away I seem to be. That's a paradox, isn't it, really? Mm-hmm. And I think the older I get, the more mysterious it becomes. And yet I can't even imagine life without Christ. Yeah. I can't even imagine. And because he is the source of my hope, he is the source of my peace, he is my strength. God is certainly, I trust and believe that God is the faithful one. That he's, you know, he's as I say so often, our good beginning, our good end, and that we're sustained by the Lord. And so, when we find ourselves in the desert or in the dark night, or we learn to wait, you know, or when we're being agitated by life, when things are really skewed or things are really chaotic or confused or whatever it might be, we know, we've learned where to go, you know, what to do to re-center oneself, to be regrounded. It's not in a thought, but it's actually in the person of Christ Jesus, the beauty of the incarnation that God took on our flesh. He lived among us. So, you know, and it's not just Jesus Christ Superstar, but it's very hard to see anything where there's a depiction of Jesus or the Blessed Virgin Mary that I can relate to because it doesn't resonate with what mm-hmm. What I personally experience. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, I'm the same way now. Even with like back in the day, I'd like this because you know I like the music or I like you know the people. You know, it's a good movie, but or a good play, whatever. And now it's like you can't really look at it that way because even like I think of The Passion of the Christ, I only saw it once. Mm-hmm. I own the DVD. I've given it to people to see, but I can't bring myself to see it again. It's just that you're right. You're too close to the story, and that's the way sure. I feel. And I guess when you see, you know, but I also try to think of it this way. To the people that don't know the story or don't know about God, is this really good? But well, it's confusing.
It might be.
Which one are you talking about?
Well, one or the other or anything I think of. And especially the Jesus Christ Superstar, I think is something different. I'm not really referring to it, but like movies. Sure. You know, if you look at something like The Passion of the Christ, I could see that being a little bit too hard for some because
And yet I talk to people who were moved to conversion based on that movie. So, yeah.
So it's kind of hard when you think about it. But again, when you depict, you know, I guess with Jesus Christ Superstar, what I'm thinking, if I remember most of it, it's that like buddy Jesus.
And
I'm not
sure. Sure.
Even to bring on. And when I think of Godspell was like that too, but it was just more the music I enjoyed.
Yeah. So, you know, as you're talking, I have to say that when try to understand when I say this, but the one scene where Judas kisses him. Really, I had to try not to break down. Mm-hmm. I mean, I felt like I really wanted to cry. Uh-huh. And the reason was, as we're talking, I was curious about that. Why was I so moved to tears? It was because the whole thing felt like a betrayal. The whole thing.
Oh, the whole.
The whole thing. Okay. Which is odd for me to say that because, I mean, it was the telling of the story, mm-hmm. you know, in a unique way, very characteristic of the time that it was premiered in the 1970s, the revolution, the rebellion, the dumbing things down, making things relevant, reintroducing the story. And yet, because it was so ruckus and so loud and so... Right. The bottom line is that he didn't rise from the dead. It ended with the crucifixion.
Right.
And so what happened was I came home, and I didn't rest all night because I was agitated. I was bothered by something, and mm-hmm. I kept thinking, you know, that it left me feeling empty. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
And that tells you, that says it all, Father. I mean, you just said it all. What does God do when you think of our Lord, His love and mercy? What does that do to us? Or like even when I watched Jesus of Nazareth or these other movies, it fills you. It uplifts your soul. That's what it should do. This, on the other hand, agitates.
Agitating. Yeah,
it
was agitating, very agitating.
So that tells you there. Yeah. I mean, I just, yeah. I mean, what else can I say?
No, it's interesting. You know, I don't want to. Again, it's a beautiful production, I think. But
what did you think of the play? Agitating.
Well, it was. It really was.
I wouldn't even
agitating.
Go see it. Sorry. I'm not sorry. I just want to go see
I'm
it.
I'm not sorry.
Anyway, we will. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. So
we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen and Support Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know. Stop or go. Hot or cold. Up or down. This way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation, one way or the other.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change. On AM 750, WNDZ. and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Oh, we're back.
We're back. That was fast.
So go to Saints. We didn't do the thing. But anyway,
we can do it.
Again, if you want to support the Winds of Change, go to ststanschurch.org. Click on Radio Tab to donate. Yeah, so the students are going to, today they're seeing the plan. I'd like to know how they
felt.
How
they feel. Well, they're young.
Because it's not, I don't think this is characteristic of their time, you know. It's the 70s. It's clearly the 70s.
And you know, Father, I prefer the music from the 50s. That's the rock and roll from then. I prefer that to the 70s. It's just,
what's your problem with the 70s, man?
I just don't care for them. The music just doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah.
None of the music from the 70s, huh?
Not really. No.
What about the Carpenters?
Come on. You got to like the Carpenters, man.
The Carpenters were from
the 70s.
Yeah.
Right? 60s and 70s.
I think so.
I see them more as like, well, yeah, you're right, the 70s, but...
Yeah, there you go.
When I think about the 70s, I think about the bell bottoms. And
yeah, that was our day. You know, was that
Why are you hating, Christy?
I'm not hating.
So what's wrong with some bell bottoms? What's wrong with you?
No, when I think of rock, I like Elvis better.
Yeah.
I know he was in the 70s.
He had bell bottoms on.
Yeah, but I like the 50s better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd like to go back to the, I don't know what I'd like to go back to.
I love the 80s. I could live in the 80s forever.
Well, see, I grew up in the 80s.
I missed the 80s because I was in the seminary, and that was my first years in the priesthood, so I felt like that was, the year I was in the novitiate, things happened that year that I'm still learning about, you know, because it was kind of a monastic year. But anyway, good actors, and, you know, it's
not for you.
No, I'm glad I saw it.
Yeah.
I'm glad I saw it. But anyway, we'll just leave it at that. And I think the my prayer is that we could, by God's grace, convey the profound mystery that God is and the faith is, rather than dumb it down or make it relevant if that makes any sense, you know, so we're going to, there was a meeting recently, somebody was there and they were telling me that, you know, it was priests and religious and they were talking about what to do, how do we make the faith
more
relevant for the young people, and they were going off into the environment and this and that. And we're missing the point. It's, we've got to delve into, throw ourselves into the mystery and live in that mystery and let the Lord, you know, I think we try too hard sometimes. If right now, and certainly this is the case, there's we're suffering an apostasy, which means a going away from the faith in a big way, then we have to suffer that. We don't cave or compromise, and I'm not saying that people are doing that. I think, people are doing it. The fact is they are doing it. But I think we have to certainly give ourselves over to Christ, be grounded, deeply rooted in the liturgy of the church, because there's the prayer in its purest form. The mysteries are all there. And there, what do we do? What we offer our lives. We say, here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. Speak. Your servant listens.
I think about how you often say about that small flock. And I think today we get lured away by so many different things. So you look around and, you know, like we talk sometimes, well, look what's going on in the world. Sometimes people don't pay attention. They're all caught up in it, so they don't really see it. But when I think of that small flock, okay, somebody has to, you know, hold guard or stand guard while people decide to do whatever is going on in the day, you know, with this day and age. You go this way, you go that way, but you don't realize what's important. And I think my frustration too, like I'm sure yours is how do you get that select group to realize what we do here every day? Every Sunday, every day of our lives is so important. And I think by watering it down and making it so, well, let's throw lights and let's throw music to it, does it really help? I don't see that.
I think at a certain level it might, but mm-hmm. I don't think that, but I think when we're talking about the prayer of the church, mm-hmm. the sacred liturgy, the sacred mysteries, we call that, the Mass, I think we've got to, as we're not supposed, you know, we're not supposed to deviate from the rubrics of the Mass. And I think, you know, we do what we can to pray the Mass in a proper way. Mm-hmm. Certainly, we want to have music that draws us into the mystery of the drama. This is a sacred drama that's unfolding on the altar of sacrifice. That encounter we have with God that is really incomprehensible. We call it the sublime mysteries. Mm-hmm. But God has a way of conveying himself, and we have to create the space for that to happen without manipulating, yeah. If that makes any sense, so that I'm not there to manipulate your feelings, and I shouldn't be expected to, mm-hmm. You know? So it's... But I do think we got into that. I think we're moving away from that, I hope. But I think in the 70s, and the 80s, there was a lot of, manipulation, yeah. Or making things relevant for the time that we live in.
So you think about that, too. Even if that is the seeds of that happening, that's why today you have people that say, well, you know what, maybe there should be female, you know, priests.
Sure.
Maybe, you set that, yeah. Seed where it becomes where we need to change. You can't change the truth of what or who Jesus is, but we want to make him Buddy Christ, so
yeah, buddy,
to say.
Yeah, Buddy Christ, you know, that's, so you know what I mean? It takes me back to when I was in at the university in, mm-hmm. St. Louis, and there was a midnight mass. It was kind of I tell you who went to that mass were the freshmen, you know, the undergraduates, mm-hmm. or freshmen and sophomores, because it was a mass that was kind of geared toward young people,
right.
If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of, it was the fun mass or
party mass.
Well, yeah, it would be at midnight so kids could, you know, right. They could, whatever. What I discovered over the course of the years that I was there, I don't remember how many years the mass lasted, because it was a point where it stopped, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because people drop off, yeah. Because you dumb it down, you make it relevant, and oh, this is fun, this is nice, this is good, you know, but then you've superficialized, mm-hmm. the mass, or we put a veil. Over the mysteries, so that there isn't the possibility, because we're, you know, too busy doing other things, and, you know, there's just a lot of activity, a lot of action, a lot of movement, people moving around, and we've lost our focus, you know. So either they drop out completely, or they end up going to the upper church, because this was in the lower church, the, mm-hmm. upper church, which was where the mass was unadulterated, if I can, right. say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I mean, I've, in the past couple of years, because I've been out of Chicago, So I've had a chance to go to masses in different places, and as a worshiper, mm-hmm. not as a priest, but I'm there, and it's I've had too many, more than a few occasions where I was really.
What is this?
Well, it was. I knew what it was, but it right. was. It was like, wow. They're still caught in that, mm-hmm. that period, the 70s, the 80s, into the 90s, I guess, where it was just so much about the people, and the sacrifice itself seemed to be secondary, mm-hmm. almost as if we really don't believe what we're doing. Or maybe it's just that. Maybe it's that it's become just the common meal of the people, the supper,
right.
Rather than the holy sacrifice of the Mass, of perpetuation, a renewal of the Paschal mystery. So we enter into that sacrifice that was offered once and for all people to save us from our slavery to sin and death, but because we're still sinners and we've yet to die, on the way we're being drawn into that fountain of mercy, right? Mm-hmm. We're being bathed in the blood of the Lamb, and so we enter into that sacrifice, which is really present to us in a hidden way, but our participation is. Where we come in gratitude that we've been redeemed, but to then offer, to entrust, to consecrate, to give over our lives through Christ to the Father. And so I think if we ever need that, it's mm-hmm. it's now.
Yeah.
So maybe we're a little bit all over, we'll take a break, Nick. In fact, we'll do that now. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening. The listener-supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the Donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
Save
the dates for Prairie Fest, Friday through Sunday, August 10th through the 12th at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois. More info at ByzantineCatholic.com.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, two blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. Yeah, so we're just rambling here, I think, but, you know, I was coming up with this. One of the things that I'm trying to prepare for our people, or people who come to the church, mm-hmm. to the sanctuary, is, you know, how we pray at St. Stanislaus Kostka, and you know what may be different about this place as contrasted or compared to other places, and well, one thing is we keep our doors open all day and all night. So how do we pray? Well, we listen. So the point is that we want to safeguard sacred silence in this sanctuary that God's voice is heard in the deep recesses of the soul. And maybe that was going back to Jesus Christ Superstar, just that the noise was just so agitating. We want people to be drawn into silence, into a sacred silence. It's not an empty silence, but it's a silence that is imbued with the very life of God. And so often people come to the church, they come into the church. I hear this all the time. I Christina, I'm sure you do too. People say there's something about this place. Mm-hmm. We had the memorial mass last week, a Peruvian family, and they were, many of them had been here for the first time. And they said, my gosh, they said, the moment you come through the doors, there's just, it, not only is it a beautiful sanctuary, but there's something here.
Even children have said, Father. I've had mothers bring their children, and in front of me, they've asked, what? Well, the mother has said they don't want to go to another church. They want to go here. And the mother's asked why. Say why. And I remember this one little boy. He said, because there's something about this church and it's silence. It's not noisy.
Now, that's good to hear from a child.
Child.
Wow. You know?
From a child. That's what he said.
Because so really we're kind of making a point, I think, you know, and that is, and this is one of the goals here, is that we don't want to manipulate, but we want to create a space that is sacred. Now, what do? We've consecrated the parish, the church, to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, she lives to do the will of God, right? And so her desire is that we come to know, to love, and to serve her Son, or to come to the realization. In fact, that's the reading today in the gospel that's being read all over the Catholic world. This week we're in the farewell discourse in the high priestly prayer of Jesus. I've mentioned it many times here on the radio, but these beautiful, beautiful words where Jesus says in his prayer to the Father, he says, "Father, I thank you for these you've given me as a gift." He says, "I pray not only for these, but I pray for all those who believe will believe on their word." And Jesus, he speaks about this union he desires for these disciples. He wants to be united, always united. They're living in me. I live in them. We live in you. You live in us. You know, so that there is this this communion. That we come to this realization that God is in fact closer to us than we are to ourselves. And maybe that goes back to what I was saying earlier, where I feel that the closer I get to God, the farther God seems to be. And that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing, because you cannot exhaust the mystery that is God. And so maybe that relates to the play or the musical, Jesus Christ Superstar, is that it is void of that mystery. It's dumbed down. No, we want to be able to allow people to get lost in that mystery, or at least to experience perhaps a desire for the, you know, we speak of spirituality as being vertical and horizontal. Mm-hmm. So horizontal would be, you know, God present in the body of the church, in the body of Christ, in the sacred assembly, or God in his creation. We perceive God in the beauty of nature. We see God in the beauty of a child, a baby, or innocent children. We see God in the beauty of music and all this. So this is part of the horizontal, right? We should see God, find God, Christ, in each other. That's really the goal of Christianity, is to allow Christ to reproduce his life in us so that he's ministering to others through us. And that's where, you know, if we could just think about this as a goal in our lives, that if we're teachers, if we're nurses or doctors, if we're cab drivers, if we're certainly mothers and fathers, anybody, no matter who you are, what you do, you know, this is, every day is an opportunity to minister, to serve others, right? This is this kind of love that we have for humanity, that we serve each other. And it's just, perhaps just our disposition, that there's a kindness, that there's a peace, that there's a, you know, because again, you know, as a child, since you mentioned the child who goes into the church and he says, I want to, there's something different here. I like it. There's a silence, a peace, or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. You know, we find that in others as well. You know, when you've been in the presence of somebody and they leave you feeling at peace or more hopeful or strengthened, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how, I think that's what we talk when we speak about ministry, serving others. At the same time, you can be in the presence of people and you just, there's something that feels not right, or there can be something very caustic, very like poison, or and again, going back to the play, it was just, it agitated. It disturbed my peace. It really did. It disturbed my peace. And that's why I say when Judas kissed Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, I really, really was moved by that, not by the gesture or the scene itself, but it seemed like a, because we're missing the point here. Something's really, really lacking, it seemed to me. It just seemed to me. That's my opinion. But the, but in any case, this horizontal spirituality is how we find God, how God comes to us in his creation, his created order. And it would be order, you know, because the disorder is, it would be the antithesis, right? When I said we're passing to a diabolical disorientation where things are upside down, this is not of God, you know. The vertical is the transcendent dimension of our spirituality. It's reaching to God who seems inaccessible. Yes, he's accessible, and he comes to us in a hidden way under the guise of bread and wine. But again, we can. I feel like I'm contradicting myself, because on one hand, we say the liturgy, we have to lift the veil to that sacred mystery, but we want to draw people into the mystery, but we can really pull the veil down, because we can never exhaust it. We can never fully perceive. It remains a sublime mystery. But Jesus, God, is definitely very, very present to us, and he comes to us, and it's beyond what we can feel. It's what we come to know, and the knowledge is sufficient, you know. But the when we have no appreciation for the sacred mysteries and the truth, the reality, as the church has always believed, that the Lord indeed comes to us in Holy Communion, in the Holy Eucharist. He gives himself food for the journey, that we not collapse as we go on our way. So we want to draw people into that. Am I making any sense here?
Yes, very much sense.
But this is the temptation, I think, is to get caught up in the noise of the world, that we don't appreciate that the transcendence. Because when you, I prefer that there is, I mean, the two, horizontal spirituality, the vertical spirituality, but the horizontal is limited. The vertical is rather liberating in a sense, because I don't have to have all the answers. So God remains, you know, my point of reference, the person of reference. We're in the exile, we're making our way through here to there in the midst of trial and tribulation, persecution, the limitations that are part of what it is to be human in this world. I mentioned the other day that Jesus in his own humanity, his humanity put certain limitations on his divinity. He was fully human, fully divine. And perhaps, you know, as I'm talking, I'm thinking about this Jesus Christ superstar, because there were some very beautiful things that were worth speaking about, and that is that the character of Jesus and the character of Judas, how this is the last week in the life of Jesus, mm-hmm. and so they're both conflicted. Jesus is having to reconcile with the fact that his days are coming to an end and that people haven't understood. So now I'm thinking, you know, there's perhaps the more I think about it, the more I'll appreciate the musical. But his gestures, and you could see you could feel, and maybe that's part of the agitation because we didn't have a resurrection. So maybe that's why you leave agitated, because you're left.
There's like no hope or no.
Yeah, because you're left. Maybe that, not as I'm thinking, I'm talking this thing through in my head. He was agitated. He had anxiety, and the character, you know, in his gestures and all that, he was. You know how it is when you don't know where to go,
mm-hmm.
you're in a crisis, yep. and you turn this way, you turn that way, and there's nothing. You're looking for. This is how Jesus was depicted often in the play, and so. But the fact that it ended in the crucifixion, and that's where it stopped. That was the end. You were left feeling. I did, at least. I felt. Oh my gosh! This is really heavy.
That's it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's all you're going to get.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't know.
Lights come on, everybody leaves, you go home.
And you're
something's missing.
So God is dead.
Uh-huh.
But when we talk about transcendent spirituality, we're talking about our relationship with a living God who is above us and beyond us, who is omnipotent, who is, who comes to us, and yet he, you know, again, he's we reach, but we can't fully grasp.
So at that point, it's not a matter of saying something; it's just listening, being.
Right. So that's okay. So that brings me back to the experience of the sanctuary, right. or the church that we create. We create. I'm saying we create. We have to remove. We got to get the obstacles or the barriers or the distractions, we got to remove these things from this space, because this is God's house. This is holy ground. You know, come through the door that you can have this encounter. But if we're, even a child can perceive that, then if we created that space, mm-hmm. you go into this place, you say, there's something, I want to be here. I feel safe here. I feel at peace here. And again, I say, many people say that. Many people. I think I mentioned this once before, because I'm in the church. I live in the church. Mm-hmm. But one evening I happened to be in the school, and this was before I had to come back for confessions and for Mass. And so I rarely come in, I mean really, really rarely come in the church from the back, from the Noble Street.
Mm-hmm.
So into the nave, you know, through the vestibule. So you're coming in as everybody comes in. I'm always coming in from
the
sacristy into the sanctuary,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I happened to come down Noble Street, and I stepped through the door of the church, and I thought, wow, this is just, we're in sacred space.
Yes.
This is sacred space. And again, it is a beautiful, beautiful church, but it's just the essence
mm-hmm.
of that presence
yes.
that is there.
I even had other priests, Father, come and, you know, they celebrate Mass, and they said that they've celebrated Masses all over, of course, as a priest, but they said the presence here is so powerful.
Yeah, Bishop, I had my annual meeting with the bishop last week, and we were talking, and there was the dean was there as well, another priest, and the bishop said, we were talking about the churches and all that, and he says, you know, he said, St. Stan's, he said, there's this warmth in that church.
Yes.
It's warm. It's
yes.
So it's his way of saying, you know, that there's something very unique.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think every place should be like that, right? It should be.
It should be.
We think. All right, let's take a break, final break, all right, Nick? And we will be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others. Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
All human life is precious, and all humans are created equal, but not all vitamins are created equal. One company's vitamins stand taller than the rest. At For Life Vitamins, we promote health from the womb to the tomb and support the pro-life movement. Dr. Christosik created For Life Vitamins to optimize your healthy habit of taking vitamins and protect the health of unborn children, the infirmed, and the elderly by donating 10% of sales to support Father Bush's life-changing ministry. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 888-879-1190. Dr. Christosik has helped over 13,000 patients reclaim their health with For Life's vitamins. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 1-888-879-1190. Simply change your vitamin company and save a life. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 1-888-879-1190.
Thank you very much, everybody. And again, that's ststandschurch.org, and click on the radio button. All right, so thanks for being with us today. You know, this is where kind of, as always, just kind of, this is, I take a break, you know, so when I come to the radio, I'm taking a break and just having a little conversation, all right? But I do have to say, you know, I think my favorite scripture is what we're reading this week in John's Gospel. It's been read all over the Catholic world, and it's the farewell discourse, parts of it, not all of it, but parts of the farewell discourse of Jesus after he celebrates the Last Supper. He institutes the Holy Eucharist. This is right before he goes down to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's going to utter his definitive yes, his fiat, to do the will of God, which is to offer his life in expiation for sin, to atone for our sins, which is what I saw last night. But it stopped right with the crucifixion, and it left you feeling kind of like those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, who Jesus appears to them and he says, "Hey, why are you downtrodden? Why are the eyes downcast? Why are you so sad? What has happened to you?" And they don't recognize Jesus, but they say, "Well, you don't know what's happened. I mean, we all believed he was the one. We had hope. He gave us peace. He was our strength. He explained. He loved us." Mm-hmm. And with him, I'm, of course, embellished. Not, I don't want to use the word embellish, but I'm trying to delve more deeply into their sentiments, you know. But the point is, they said, you know, he's dead. He's dead. They buried him. Well, they said there's women who are telling the tale that the tomb is empty, but how is it that you don't know that that they've put to death Jesus of Nazareth, and with his death our hopes have died? And Jesus says, you know, how quick you forget. Oh, you, what did he say? Insensatos. What is that in English? How foolish.
Foolish.
How foolish. How quick you forget. Wasn't it supposed to happen this way? And he opens up the scripture, mm-hmm. explains to them, remember what Moses said? What did the prophets say? What about Isaiah, Ezekiel, Baruch, Hezekiah? What did they all say? Jeremiah? Wasn't it supposed to happen this way? And they came to the juncture in the road, and Jesus acted as if he were going on, and they said, "Sir, come and stay with us. It's getting late." And so Jesus went into their home, and the gospel says very simply, he took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, he gave it, and he blessed it, of course, and he he vanished from their sight. And then they looked at each other and they said, did not our hearts burn as he spoke to us? It is true, he has risen as he promised. And he left the bread, Jesus did. Isn't it amazing how we come full circle? Because it really brings me back to everything we're talking about. I hope it makes sense to you out there listening, but it's without the resurrection, mm-hmm. there's nothing.
There's nothing.
And the Eucharistic gift, Jesus said, better, and this is in the farewell discourse, yeah. better that I go that I remain with you. And how am I going to remain with you? But I'll be with you in the sacraments. And all the sacraments flow into and flow from the Holy Eucharist. That's Jesus, and Jesus in a very unique way with us. And so we have to acknowledge that and in gratitude enter into that mystery, really, so that for what reason? But that we can serve the spirituality on the level of the horizontal, where we can then minister, serve each other. It's Christ serving through us and others serving. It's a mutual service rendered by Christ in the church, one to another, and you get the point. But mm-hmm. but everything centers around that mystery that is the Holy Eucharist. But without the resurrection, it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be. The Lord is with us. He says, you know, in these beautiful readings this week, thank you, Father. I pray for not only for these here with me, but all those who will believe on their word. And he says, I thank you. This is a very beautiful, these you have given me as a gift. I mean, do you ever think of yourself as a gift? That Jesus says, you, Tony, or Christina, or Nick, or anybody out there, you're a gift to me. Is that prideful to say that Jesus said that? I mean, that should humble us, right? Mm-hmm. It should humble us and say, you know, and of course we, especially if we receive Christ as a gift, that he's offering himself as a gift. Again, from the cross, in the as we read it in Scripture, as we saw, as I saw last night in the musical, Jesus Christ Superstar, it ends with a death, you know, but that death, I always say, you know, we got to look to the cross because we feel the weight of the cross, but it's being able to peer beyond the cross into the glory, the light of the resurrection, that we have cause for hope, that we have the burden, the heaviness is lightened a bit, and there's a peace. In fact, isn't that what Jesus said in his resurrection appearance? Don't be afraid. Be at peace. I've conquered all things. You know? Peace. When Pope John Paul, I go back to the Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, when he was raised to the chair of Peter, how many people, when he said that, because it wasn't just his words, it was Jesus speaking through him, and we knew it. We knew it. I knew it. I was moved by those words in a very, very, very profound way at a time when I really needed to hear those words, and knowing that it wasn't Karol Wojtyła, who was now John Paul II, but it was Jesus, because of the way that it those words penetrated, pierced the heart. And it wasn't just for me, but when he died, how many people said the same thing? And what did the Pope say? When he took to the chair of Peter, Pope John Paul II, he says, I tell you, all of you, do not, have no fear, do not be afraid to open the door of your hearts to Christ. It was the Lord speaking through him. This doesn't make it completely, profoundly unique and distinct from anybody else who might speak those same words. Is when it's spoken under the inspiration, under the power of the Holy Spirit. As a song, I do not know how to love him or something to that effect. Anyway, everybody, thanks for being with us. I hope you're still with us. So, hey, we'll be back. I don't know when, but we'll be back. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.